L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now. It's a Monday morning live on the early line on Sports Grid, all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are here together over the next 3 hours, up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on this Monday to start off a new week. The second half of the NFL season, Donnie, also starting over this weekend. It's week number 10 with one final game on this Monday night in Western New York. A wild and historic NFL Sunday. DRS, 5 games decided as time expired. The winning score going through as time ran out in regulation. That a record in the history of the National Football League. So a wild Sunday to recap. We'll go all around the association as well. A significant Saturday in college football. All of that and more, DRS. Over these next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
What exciting weekend it was overall. Eliminator contest. I'm still involved in that as we head to week 11. Fantastic. Yesterday on Pro Football Today, picking up a best bet winner. Happy about that. But maybe the most impressive feat, Ben and I do a teaser each and every week with both legs. Yeah, we lost both of those legs yesterday. So welcome into the new week, man. It can all happen, both good and bad, Ben.
Donnie, one of those games was a historic ending in Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh, we'll talk about in just a moment. Again, 5 games decided at the buzzer. A game-winning score as time expired in regulation. That a record for the most in a single Sunday in the history of the NFL. One of those games, Donnie, that did not meet that criteria was actually probably the marquee matchup of that early window in the NFL Week 10 Sunday slate in Jacksonville between the Jaguars and the 49ers. Quickly, let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. The opening hour of the opening day of a new week. It's a Monday on TEL. He's Donnie. I am Ben. And you are listening on Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our other radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. Donnie, San Francisco and Jacksonville in Duval County. Just a 3.5-point spread in favor of the 49ers. Both teams fresh off the bye, but both entered their open weekend in opposite directions. San Francisco had dropped 3 in a row. We never thought we would utter those words about the 49ers this season. Jacksonville, the hottest team around the NFL, winners of 5 straight. Well, both streaks coming to an end yesterday. San Francisco snaps the 3-game losing skid and snaps Jacksonville's 5-game win streak as the Niners dominate once again 34-3, Donnie, covering as a 3.5-point road favorite in Duval County.
Wait, right back to it there for Bryce Purdy, Brock Purdy, 296 in the air, 3 touchdown passes. You take a look at McCaffrey, 95 yards on the ground. George Kittle, well over 100 yards. The machine is back moving. The one interesting thing about that game yesterday was there was a late fumble by Kirk in the third quarter here that could have changed the tide of the game in the favor maybe of Jacksonville, getting them within double digits. But he fumbled that football. But having said that, 4 touchdowns on the board for San Francisco. What were the odds that Christian McCaffrey wouldn't have one of those? Boy, they tried at the end of the football game to get him a touchdown. It just didn't work out, but an impressive performance, and maybe you can take some deep breaths out there on the West Coast. All right, 49ers football back in gear.
Yeah, certainly so. DRS dominant once again in their six victories this year. They have scored at least 30 points in all six wins. They have also covered in five of those six, all booked as the favorite. They tried DRS, even with Sam Darnold in at quarterback. They kept running CMC out there, and they tried to get him the football on the goal line, but he was eventually stopped. That 17-game touchdown streak for Christian McCaffrey comes to a close, tied for the NFL record, but doesn't own the individual record by himself. Donnie, now to the craziness that we saw on Sunday, week number 10. The Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens, an AFC North duel inside the Charm City. The flock looked like they were going to cruise to a victory over Cleveland. They were up by two touchdowns, under 10 minutes to play in that fourth and final quarter. Cleveland comes back, and then they win it at the buzzer as Dustin Hopkins hits a 40-yard field goal as time expires. The Browns win outright, Donnie, 33-31 outright as a 6.5-point underdog.
Yeah, I actually had the over on the Friday pick six here. This was my alt over game. It ends up with 64 points. Even though both of these defenses are very good, I thought both of the offenses could get after it. But welcome to the show, Baltimore Ravens. The best team out there, but they can't close the door in multiple games. Three losses, all comebacks against them. And yesterday at home, that's indefensible. To get up to a 17-3 lead here and blow that against the Cleveland Browns, terrible interceptions at the wrong time, and they just couldn't get one stop when they needed it. But credit to Sean Watson and Cleveland. We got a season now and an AFC North that's going to be wild to the finish.
The Ravens are 7-3. The Browns are 6-3. The Steelers with a victory over the Packers are 6-3. The Bengals went down in Cincy. We'll talk about that game in just a moment. Now out to Southern California, SoFi Stadium on a Sunday, a showdown between the Lions and the Chargers. Hopkins hit from 40 yards out. Riley Patterson nails one from 41 yards out in a high-scoring affair between the Bolts and the Lions as Detroit goes on the road to Los Angeles and wins 41-38, even covering Donnie as a 2.5-point favorite. Detroit now 7-2, tied alongside Kansas City for that second-best mark in all of the NFL.
Yeah, this is Detroit football here, right? Play really bad defense, but be absolutely cooking on offense. Yeah, Jared Goff there, 333, two touchdowns and no interceptions. Montgomery, 116 yards on the ground. Jahmyr Gibbs, 77. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 156 in the air. Ben Johnson is the hottest coordinator prospect out there to be a next head coach in the NFL. He is on gas pedal every single weekend. That was as much fun as you can have on a Sunday afternoon game. And yes, the Chargers lost another one-possession game. Congratulations, Brandon Staley.
Donnie, the total closed around 48 and a hook 49. It screams over when you saw 79 combined points in LA. Again, more history on that Sunday slate. A wild one in Cincinnati. The Texans, Donnie, taking it to the Bengals. They're up by 10 with just over 3 minutes left. CJ Stroud had only thrown one interception all year long, makes a very questionable decision. It's picked off by Cam Taylor-Britt. The Bengals come all the way back. They drive down the length of the field. They have Tyler Boyd in the end zone for a touchdown. He drops it. They kick a field goal. It's tied at 27 all, and then CJ Stroud responds. The rookie resilient again, another game-winning drive as Matt Amendola, the kicker they signed as a free agent during the week, hits the game winner as the Texans upset the Bengals as a 5.5-point underdog.
What an exciting game, back and forth. I didn't think the Cincinnati Bengals would lose this football game, but now they sit at 5-4 in a tough game on deck. They could be 5-5 by the end of this week, and then we put those life support playoff scenarios out there for the Cincinnati Bengals. But I really want to focus on the Houston Texans. They're 5-4, and as much as it's about Houston, I look at Carolina. I need answers right now in Carolina. Who made the decision to take Bryce Young here, and what was that, you know, chasm between the ownership group and the coaching staff? I need to know that right away, because CJ Stroud is a bona fide superstar just a few games into his career. This is wild what we're seeing, Ben.
No doubt about it. Some scores around the college football Saturday slate. Michigan, without Jim Harbaugh, goes into Happy Valley and knocks off Penn State 24-15 in a game that looked like it was played in 1912. Washington holds off Utah in Seattle, a scoreless second half for the Utes. The Huskies win by 7. And Donnie, we'll talk about the association, but here's the headline. The Clippers stink with James Harden. Now, more around the NFL Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking back on the Week 10 Sunday slate all around the National Football League, live right here on a Monday morning on the early line as a new week begins. The second half of the NFL season in 2023 started this week as well. Weeks 1 through 9 in the book, an 18-week regular season. That means Week 10 starts this second half. And starting off Sunday, DRS, it was San Francisco in Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Both teams fresh off the bye. The 49ers had lost three in a row entering that bye week. Jacksonville, the hottest team in the NFL, winners of five consecutive games. But San Francisco reminding everybody they're a true Super Bowl contender for a reason. 34-3, the victory for the 49ers on the road in Duval County, covering as a 3.5-point favorite. Donnie, the San Francisco 49ers now have a 6-3 mark this year. In all six wins for San Fran, they have scored at least 30 points.
They've been absolutely horrendous coming into this football game. Talking about the 49ers. 17-17-17. What's wrong with Brock Purdy? Why can't he get it going here? Oh, maybe it was a flash in the pan and things are catching up to him. Well, the one thing that we do know is heading into a bye week, when you have a creative offensive coordinator like Kyle Shanahan, you know the kinks would get worked out here. Self-evaluate, self-scout. What can we put you in a better spot here? And also, let's remind ourselves, Brock Purdy was dealing with concussion symptoms here after that football game in Minnesota. An extra week here to clear his mind, and it sort of worked out. You know what else worked out? Getting one of the best left tackles in football back, and also Deebo Samuel. The offense was cooking early in that game, Ben. Close to 300 yards for Brock Purdy. I took his passing props over 240.5 yesterday. They got as high as 249. Didn't matter. Covered that with ease. 1.5 touchdown passes. Covered that brilliantly with three of them. The offense was great from the ground game, 4.8 yards per carry, to the air game, which was 11.4 yards per attempt. Everything was working in their direction yesterday. And we were waiting for the 49ers to come back, but still, they have three losses here. They're still being priced as if they're the best team in the NFC, which I disagree with. But sometimes, Ben, you're just taking a look at the schedules that have been upcoming here. The 49ers schedule, much more manageable than the Philadelphia Eagles schedule. We'll see how that bears out, because the Eagles are going to have to play the Kansas City Chiefs. But getting to the Jacksonville side of this football game, 6-3 now on the season. Now I'm back to the point where I'm saying, like, yeah, they're the best team in the AFC South. Fun little story. Yeah. Home game in the playoffs. Maybe they win, but that's about it. Yesterday would have been a football game to put away the 49ers and say, one game in the playoffs? No. Hey, Kansas City, we're putting you on notice. We're coming for you. That didn't happen. Back to the back of the end of the line here for the Jacksonville Jaguars for me.
2-2 straight up and against the spread for Jacksonville this year as an underdog. Donnie, both of those games they lost and did not cover as a dog came at home against the Chiefs and the 49ers. Again, maybe a slightly different pedigree than winning the AFC South, and that might not be a surefire thing given how well the Houston Texans are playing. At least Jacksonville were not going to run away with it, it would seem, at this moment. Donnie, an interesting distinction here in two different odds markets. In the NFC Championship prices, Philadelphia remains the favorite at plus 220, 20 cents in front of San Francisco, but the 49ers a better price by half a dollar than the Eagles in Super Bowl 58 numbers. San Francisco 5-1, only 20 cents behind Kansas City. The Chiefs remain the favorite. San Fran 5-1, Philadelphia, Donnie, plus 550. That's a very interesting distinction. Not the best price to win their own conference, but if they do somehow, some way, in a short distinction between San Francisco and Philadelphia, the odds makers think the 49ers stack up better to maybe win that Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, the Eagles are the only team in the NFL that, unless they play the Chiefs and the 49ers every single week, don't get any credit for wins. And that's predicated right here in the Super Bowl odds market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Why the 49ers would be ahead of the Eagles, I have no idea. But a lot of things will be settled. But the joke keeps running where, okay, the Eagles will beat the Chiefs next week, and then they'll handle the 49ers at home. But somehow the 49ers will have better pricing because their schedule is easier, even though the Eagles are mowing down the tough part of their schedule. Everything will play out on the field. So I guess from a motivational standpoint, I don't think the Eagles are running to the FanDuel Sportsbook every Monday like, ah, what's going on here? What disrespect? We're not in first place. I mean, stop the man this year. It'll all play out. It's just interesting to see a three-loss 49ers team ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles with only one loss.
Donnie, it's a great point, right? Philly is more than comfortable with where they stand, using the bye week to get fresh and ready for a Monday night trip next week in Kansas City against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. But I will say this, Philadelphia in a gauntlet of their schedule that started before the bye with the game hosting the Cowboys in the 4 weeks after it, including a matchup against San Francisco. But Philly has a good pedigree, already a two-game advantage up over San Francisco in the win-loss column for what might be the number one overall seed in the NFC. Donnie, last week there were four teams that had a three-digit price to win the Super Bowl. The three that we see here, Kansas City, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and then Baltimore. The Ravens now north of that three-digit price at 12-1 because Baltimore unable to close yesterday at home in the Charm City as the flock go down to the Cleveland Browns. DRS, a wild game. Again, Baltimore had a two-touchdown lead up by 14, 31-17 with just over 9 minutes remaining. Cleveland scores a touchdown that feels rather innocuous. Baltimore going to put the game away. Lamar Jackson throws two interceptions in this football game. He had been pretty clean all year long. Donnie, the story of this game, tipped interceptions. It's how the Ravens scored about a minute and a half into the contest. Kyle Hamilton picked off Deshaun Watson, and then Greg Newsom II returns the favor late in the fourth quarter against Lamar Jackson. They missed the extra point, but then Dustin Hopkins responds with a 41-yarder made field goal as time expires. Donnie, one of those five games yesterday with the winning score as time expired in regulation that set an NFL record.
Yeah, who's going to run the football better yesterday? Well, apparently it was the Cleveland Browns. 36 carries in this game for 178 yards, 4.9 yards per carry, and a tack on touchdown here. But I think the bigger picture is that's a gutty performance and a great win for the Cleveland Browns on the road. But I just keep on getting back to the Baltimore Ravens of how they're losing football games. It's one thing just to get outplayed from the first quarter on, hey, we never had a chance, we were down double digits the whole game. But this is a football team that takes leads at home and just continues to blow them. They should never lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They shouldn't have lost to the Indianapolis Colts at home with Gardner Minshew. They shouldn't lose a 14-point lead twice in that football game at home. It's just unbearable to watch because of the top, or should I say the heights that they can play. Talking about the Ravens are some of the best in football, but you got to be able to close the door on football teams, and you're supposed to be able to do that. How do you close games out in the NFL? Don't turn the football over. Have a dominant ground game. Baltimore has that. How do you win football games in the NFL? Have a pretty good defense. Baltimore has that. Yet they find themselves with three losses here that they shouldn't have been.
They have a point differential, Donnie, of plus 113, and yet they have lost three games, 7-3 now for the flock. Again, those two interceptions for Lamar Jackson yesterday. I would keep an eye on Keaton Mitchell, by the way, the rookie undrafted running back out of ECU. He has come on strong, a big play threat, a touchdown yesterday against Cleveland as well. Donnie, if I read you Deshaun Watson's stat line, you're probably not thinking Cleveland went into Baltimore and got the win. 20 of 34, 213 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Did run the football for 37 yards as well. That's what we talked about entering this game. The fully $230 million guaranteed man had to go on the road, not just cover as a 6.5-point underdog, but maybe win this game outright. At the end of the day, it's what Deshaun and Cleveland did. So Baltimore, Donnie, 7-3. The Browns, 6-3 with the upset victory yesterday. The Steelers hold on at home in an ugly football game against the Green Bay Packers, but that's Pittsburgh football. They're 6-3. And the Bengals, as we shared, lose at home against the Houston Texans. They are now 5-4. Donnie, Baltimore was an odds-on favorite entering the second half of the season. Now still the favorite in the AFC North, but by only 60 cents in front of those Browns, a plus 140. Now,
maybe could have shut the door on the division yesterday, pick up a win over the Browns and also having the Cincinnati Bengals lose. It's like, okay, what's next year for us? Let's get ready for the playoffs is what the feel would be. But yesterday, I do think that loss is going to be damaging for the Baltimore Ravens, but not as damaging because if Cincinnati put together another win injured yesterday and kept that freight train on the tracks, you might have been in some trouble. But I think there's a little bit more breathing room because the one team I'm worried about if I'm the Ravens is the Bengals. That's a huge loss for the Bengals yesterday.
And we'll look at what that game looked like in Cincinnati on the other side of the break with more Week 10 reactions around the Sunday slate in the NFL coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, reacting to what we saw during week number 10 in a historic NFL Sunday slate. Again, Donnie, five games decided as time expired. That winning score right before we hit triple zeros in regulation. We saw it in Baltimore, and we saw it in Los Angeles as well, between the Lions and the Chargers. Detroit, a 2.5-point road favorite inside SoFi Stadium on Sunday. A high-scoring back-and-forth affair, Donnie, between the Lions and the Chargers, ends up going Detroit's way. Riley Patterson, a 41-yarder as time expired, give the Lions a 41-38 win. Well, over a total around 49, that over-under pregame, and Detroit picks up their seventh win of the season. They're now 7-2, Donnie, and they do cover as a 2.5-point road favorite.
That is big news there for the Lions, because it's one of those games where we have the step up. And I'm not saying this was a huge step up game, because the Chargers are coming into this game roughly a 500 team. But let's go back to the previous week. So it's like, okay, Detroit, show me what you got in Baltimore. They didn't show up there. So is this one of those Jacksonville Jaguar stories, Ben, we're going to play out like, hey, really good football team, win their division, get a home playoff game, but not going to factor into the NFC playoffs here? That's not the case anymore. That was a gutsy performance by the Lions, who went toe to toe. And you know what you like sometimes with aggression? You have to figure out what's the style of this game. You knew as well as I did, Ben, at the end of the game, that you were going to have a controversy either way. Dan Campbell on 4th and 2 with under 2 minutes to go decides to go for a play and kick a game-winning field goal at that point. But he had the understanding, like, my defense isn't stopping anybody. If they have 1 minute on the clock, the worst-case scenario is they're going to drive the length of the field and kick a field goal, and we're going to be in overtime. I have one play to end this football game. They went for it, trusted their quarterback and their offense, and got it. I love that, because that sends such a signal to the locker room, like, we are always going to play to win. And the best part about that is I trust my offense to pick up that first down in a much needed environment, because trust me when I say this, Ben, late in the season in the playoffs, they're going to be in that exact same scenario and have the confidence once again to go for it here. But if we give all this heaping praise on the Detroit Lions offense, and rightfully so, finally, how about that? Montgomery and Gibbs both dominating in the same backfield. Three combined rushing touchdowns. They were phenomenal in that football game. I just get back to the Chargers and say to myself, you hired a defensive coach. You have superstar after superstar, high-paid player after high-paid player on that defense, and you can't stop anybody when it matters. We talked about it yesterday on the football show, Ben, and I asked this question. It's like, is this going to be the knockout blow for Brandon Staley if they lose this football game? Not necessarily meaning he would get fired after the football game, but isn't enough is enough? Like, he continues to stand at the podium and say, trust the guys in the locker room. You know, we have the guys that can win football games. We're just not winning the close ones. Hello? That's what you're supposed to do when you trust the guys in the locker room and the service is very good from the players. And also you have the ingredients to win football games and you keep losing. Sometimes it's not just the players. It's the scheme you're putting them into. And maybe if Staley was the offensive coordinator, he's like, hey, man, what do you want me to do, guys? We dropped 30 and 40 a game. We're not winning. We got to get the defense right. You're the defensive mind on that football team, and it's your fault you get beating every single week. It's ridiculous.
It's also some of those managerial choices a head coach is tasked with making. Yes, we probably would have ridiculed Dan Campbell had he passed up a potential game-winning field goal to go for it on 4th and 2 and give the football back to the Chargers, but he believes in his team, and it paid off for him. It is his aggressive nature that has oftentimes benefited Detroit as opposed to putting them behind the eight ball, which has been the story in Los Angeles. I think Brandon Staley, DRS, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I said it at the end of week number 6 when the Chargers fell to 2-4. The Chargers are going to find a new head coach at some point this offseason. I don't think Brandon Staley is fired before the end of the year unless things go really south in Southern California, but he's not returning as the head coach in LA. You look at the numbers yesterday. Herbert, 27 of 40, 323 yards, 4 touchdown tosses. Austin Eckler near 70 on the ground and a touchdown. Keenan Allen, 11 grabs, 175 yards and 2 scores. But yet again, the Chargers find a way to lose a football game late. And it's one thing, Donnie, if it's a blip on the radar or it happens once or twice a season. This is the consistent story for this Chargers franchise. On the other side, Jared Goff over his passing yards prop in the low 270s with 333 and 2 touchdown tosses, 156 and a score to Amon-Ra St. Brown. The Lions, Donnie, have been booked as a favorite in 7 games games this year, they are 6-1, both straight up and against the number. Not only a 7-2 football team, but passing those litmus tests time and again. They're a hefty odds-on favorite at minus 700 to win the NFC North. The only reason it's not longer than that, or stronger than that, I should say, is because the Vikings have won 5 straight games. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Donnie, I'm not sure the Chargers are going to keep pace in a very strong AFC to even contend for a wild card spot. And if they don't reach the playoffs now with Brandon Staley missing out on the postseason for 2 of his 3 years in LA, he is as good as gone by the time we get to the end of the regular season.
And no doubt about it. Like, we should have saw the writing on the wall when you have like a 30-point lead in the playoff game and you end up blowing that. Maybe you just can't coach in this NFL, and it's okay. There's a lot of guys that get ascensions here to the head coaching job and it just doesn't work out, and maybe they're better as coordinators down low. He'll find himself a job somewhere, but again, it just gets down to the point where we're not looking at that Chargers defense going like, well, what do you want them to do? There's no talent out there. No, there's a ton of talent out there that you just haven't been able to coach up. And by the way, remember J.C. Jackson? Hey, let's sign that guy to a huge contract. I'll fit him right in my scheme. What a that was. That's on the defensive coordinator. That's on the head coach here. There's no excuses here for the Chargers to say, hey, that's a moral victory. What, are you kidding me at this point? You have Herbert there. You have an elite offense. You just can't stop anybody on defense, and that lands on the head coach. And yes, Staley will be one and done because he's been there a couple years. It just feels like he should have been a one and done.
So a field goal made by Riley Patterson as time expires, a field goal made by Matt Amendola in Cincinnati, the new kicker for the Texans after what we saw last week for Houston, Kyahmi Fairbairn getting injured, Dari Ogunbowale, a backup running back, had to kick a field goal in regulation. They go out and they sign somebody, and Amendola comes through on Sunday in Cincy. But Donnie, what a wild game it was before that game-winning field goal, the 36-yarder by Amendola. The Texans had a double-digit lead with about 3.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It seemed as though the Bengals, after Joe Burrow, who had thrown a couple of picks, were just going to come up short. But then C.J. Stroud threw what was just his second pick of the year. It set up the Bengals to score. They did. They get the football back. It seemed as though they were going to score and win the game with a touchdown to Tyler Boyd, who dropped it in the end zone. They settle for a field goal, and then C.J. Stroud continues to pass each and every test, his second straight week with a game-winning drive resulting in that Amendola field goal. And the Texans, Donnie, go into Cincinnati and win outright as a 5.5-point underdog. The Houston Texans, with a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud and a rookie head coach in DeMeco Ryans, now have a winning record. They are 5-4.
It's not supposed to be that way. You're not supposed to go into Cincinnati, win that football game, down your top wide receiver and your top running back here with a rookie quarterback on the road against a team with a full head of steam in the Cincinnati Bengals, and control that game. It felt like after the 7-0 lead here from the Cincinnati Bengals in that game, but also from a rookie quarterback to make one of the more boneheaded decisions you can make on a horrendous interception that opened the door for the Bengals to get back into the football game, to pull up your bootstraps and say, you know what? We're on the road, hostile environment, tie football game. Watch me drive the length of this field get us for the game-winning field goal. An unbelievable performance. And also, say what you want about DeMeco Ryans. You enter into this football game like, yeah, okay, let's see what we have out here. We're going with some backups or some second-stringer guys. Devin Singletary, 30 carries, 150 yards. Oh, no, we're down Nico Collins. So what? Noah Brown, 7 for 172? You want to talk about a team coming into the season that I didn't think that was all that talented. And now I'm saying, like, hey, wait till they get talented. There's superstars all over this roster now, it feels up, because why? Yeah. They're stepping up in the biggest moments when their team needs them. After 9 games, the Houston Texans have a winning record. That's outrageous, sensational, all at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt about it, DRS. And C.J. Stroud now minus 2,000 to win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year award. He is going to win that award. But the conversation is not Rookie of the Year, Donnie. It's MVP. And a legitimate MVP contender in this conversation. Now 30-1 for C.J. Stroud. Joe Burrow, by the way, 20-1. His price growing longer because of the loss for Cincinnati, but the stats were there for both of those individuals yesterday. C.J. Stroud also running in a touchdown, throwing for more than 350 yards. Donnie, C.J. Stroud is top 10 in the NFL in passing yardage, passing touchdowns. He's only thrown 2 interceptions. He's top top 10 in QBR, top 10 in passer rating. Again, he is not just a fun story who's going to win Rookie of the Year. He should be a legitimate MVP contender in that discussion, and the numbers continue to prove that, DRS.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just wonderful to watch. Now, granted, are we going to start hitting that rookie wall here after 9 games, get more film out here? It doesn't seem to be the case at this point, and that's what's so exciting to watch. And also, you take a look at yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars with that loss. The Houston Texans pick up a victory. Maybe they're saying, hey, why not us in this division? There's still a long way to go, and a long, you know, that's like to say, the maturation process of a young football team, young head coach, and a young quarterback. But I just coming up aces every single week, giving yourself a chance to win, which brings me back to the point. Come on, Houston. How did you lose at Carolina, man? Just think if you didn't lose that football game, where you might be at this point. But, you know, beggars can't be losers at that point here. Fantastic stuff for the Houston Texans so far. I love what I see. I really do. It's fun.
The Panthers only win this year over the Texans at home on a walk-off field goal as well. The Texans right now, Donnie, with that 5-4 record, plus 116 to make the playoffs. Still a plus money price, but that number grows shorter. They are in the conversation here as we get to the middle of November. And D'Amico Ryans, the second best price at 3-1, only behind Detroit's Dan Campbell to win the NFL Coach of the Year award. Plenty more football reactions coming your way next, live right here on this Monday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The legend of Joshua Dobbs continues to grow as we recap a Sunday around the NFL before turning our attention to college football on the second Saturday in November. I am Ben. He is Donnie. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning live bright and early on the Early Line. So DRS, Joshua Dobbs has been a member of the Minnesota Vikings for about 11 days now. And as their quarterback, he didn't start last week for the Vikings in a game against the Falcons, but he came in early after the injury to Jaren Hall. He has led the Vikings to 2 straight victories. And Minnesota, Donnie, has won 5 straight. And Minnesota, Donnie, has won 6 of their last 7. This Vikings team should not be written off, and Joshua Dobbs, the reason why. 27-19, the win over the Saints at home yesterday, outright as a 3-point underdog. It got a little dicey at the end with Jameis Winston trying to lead the charge for New Orleans in the absence of Derek Carr. But Minnesota holds on with Joshua Dobbs playing the majority of their games. The Vikings are a perfect 2-0.
I don't understand Josh Dobbs here, and it's in a good way, because you take a look at his statistics, he routinely throws for under 200 yards, but every time I turn the television on and I see a highlight, I'm like, this guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, which we know is not the case, but the tag gamer works for him, meaning like, you know what, it might not look pretty, but I guarantee you I will get the job done and the guys will rally around me. Case in point yesterday, I thought New Orleans was going to walk in and win this game because I kept saying to myself, Dobbs isn't a good quarterback. This team is banged up. There's not a lot of talent on Minnesota. You have a decent defense on the Saints and much more talent on offense from their perspective. They got boat raced right out of the gate 24-3 at the break. And every time I watch Dobbs, and when did he turn into, at times you can say, hey, is that Mike Vick? Is that Randall Cunningham? Who is that running the football quarterback where nobody can tackle the guy? He has been tremendous here, but it does seem a little bit like smoke and mirrors, but at the same time, it's what's working. All the Vikings are asking him to do is win football games, not be pretty, put our team in the best possible position, and he keeps making big play after big play after big play. He asked me the question like last week, well, the Minnesota Vikings, can they get to the playoffs? And I said, they can, but Dobbs a quarterback the rest of the way. I don't think that's going to be possible. They're 6-4 now. It's absolutely possible with Justin Jefferson about to come back on the horizon here. I'm so impressed with Dobbs. Again, not doing it the old-fashioned way. 330 from the pocket, 3 touchdown passes, but just getting the job done. There's something to be said for that.
DRS, there is something to be said about this Vikings team. They were winless, 0-3 to start this year. They have now won 6 of their last 7, including 5 in a row. We all expected regression for Minnesota following the 13-win season last year, 11 of them coming by a single score. I don't think anybody expected it to be as drastic as it was in the opening month of the season for the Vikings, to lose Justin Jefferson, to lose Kirk Cousins for the remainder of this year, and to still find ways to a win is remarkable. Led by Kevin O'Connell and now Josh Dobbs and everything that is going well in the Twin Cities. How sustainable is it in Minneapolis? That remains to be seen. But Donnie, it's not like the AFC. The NFC is not a gauntlet. You can pretty much point at the 7 teams that are going to be in that playoff conversation, including the Vikings, who now have a minus 230 price, by the way, to make the postseason. Minus 230. And Kirk Cousins got the Vikings locker room started on Creed, DRS, as that infamous 90s band is going to make their return to touring stages around the country and on international waters throughout this summer. Joshua Dobbs embodying the theme song for Minnesota, taking the Vikings higher each and every week. 2 combined touchdowns yesterday, 44 yards on the ground for Dobbs and finding his way into the end zone. 268 and a touchdown as well, Donnie. No interceptions, a passer rating of 101.1. So the Saints lose. They're an even 500 at 5-5. The good thing for them, Donnie, New Orleans plays in the NFC South, where the Falcons also lost yesterday on the road in the desert against the Arizona Cardinals. Welcome back, Kyler Murray. One of those 5 games where the game-winning score happened as time expires. Matt Prater, a chip shot, gives the Cardinals the victory, 25-23 over the Dirty Birds. Kyler Murray making play after play, Donnie, in his first football game in nearly 340 days. Taylor Heineke was injured, but then bench. Desmond Ridder came in. Regardless, the Falcons 2 games below 500. The Cardinals get their 2nd win of the year, Donnie, outright as a 2.5-point underdog at home in the desert.
Yeah, my team total yesterday, my favorite one of the day, was the Atlanta Falcons to go over 21.5. And it looks like it was going to be in the bank in the first half as they scored 2 touchdowns in the 2nd quarter. Then things got a little dicey late when you saw an injury to Taylor Heineke on a hamstring injury, which brought in Desmond Ridder, which looked okay for a while until he just fell down on a quarterback sneak on 4th-and-1 and didn't get it. I was losing my mind, yeah. But he came back and took the lead, which again, the Falcons, you took the lead against the Cardinals here. You couldn't close them down. Now, let's take a look. Forget about the Atlanta Falcons. They're going nowhere this year, and you're right. The New Orleans Saints are catching a break from the division that they play in. But let's focus on the Arizona Cardinals here. You take a look. James Conner comes back to the game. 16 carries, 73 yards. Trey McBride, who's an absolute superstar, which you've heard on this show a couple weeks back, when his totals were like, hey, see if he can get 25 yards receiving. Yeah, he went for 8 for 131 with a real quarterback. He is a legitimate threat and a dominant tight end waiting to happen in the NFL. But if you are an Arizona fan, let's just say, or even the front office, you loved what you saw out of Kyler Murray. He wasn't all that efficient overall with just a passer rating of 71 through a bad interception, 19 of 32, no touchdown passes. But you saw what makes his bread and butter out there, Ben. He is fast as all get out and looks just as fast as before the knee injury, which is huge. But tell me there wasn't a part of some people at the end of that football game like, Atlanta scored to take that lead. Fantastic. Arizona got what they wanted. Murray is healthy, but you lost the game and you continue to stack those chips come draft time here. Because yes, it's great. And a coaching staff always wants to win because it's their name on that bottom line there. But I got to tell you, looking at that game overall, it would have been so much better if the Cardinals had that same performance and lost. It would have been a win-win for me both ways. But I know coaches and players actively aren't going to throw the game on the field. It's up to the general manager to sort of slow those trails down and say, look, here's who's playing, here's not. But Kyler Murray's back, and he's healthy.
DRS, entering this year, it seemed like Arizona would be in a similar spot to where Chicago is entering this new offseason. 2 picks in the top 5 with their own record, probably being expected to be the worst in the National Football League in owning the Texans' 2024 first-round pick. But Houston's playing pretty well, and there's teams that are worse than the Arizona Cardinals right now, like the Carolina Panthers, who will hand that first overall pick, or their first-round selection, I should say, to Chicago. But the rest of the season can be used as an evaluation tool on Kyler Murray. Let's not forget, two off seasons ago, a five-year, $231.5 million deal with more than $160 million guaranteed. Murray was back yesterday and looked very, very good. As you look at Kyler's stat line, 19 of 32, 249 yards, didn't throw a touchdown, did have an interception, but did rush for a score, Donnie, 33 yards on the ground. Again, the Cardinals winning a football game. The Falcons, Donnie, now 1-4 on the road. If you look at the Arthur Smith tenure, Atlanta has really struggled on the road, and they lost four of their last five games. They've also only covered twice this year, just 2-8 against the spread for this Atlanta side. Donnie, as we look at the five games that featured a game-winning score as time expired, we've talked about four of them in Arizona, in Los Angeles, in Cincinnati, in Baltimore, and also in the Pacific Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks winning 29-26 over the Washington Commanders in a high-scoring game. Both Sam Howell, who you need to take note of, by the way, for the passing yards props, as he's on the rise in Eric Bieniemy's scheme, and Geno Smith throw for well over 300 yards apiece. A wild fourth quarter, Donnie, where the two teams scored on their final five drives combined. It was a Jason Myers field goal as time expired, his fifth made field goal of the day, that gave Seattle a victory. They're 6-3, as are the San Francisco 49ers, Donnie. Both teams 6-3 in the NFC North. One final check on the odds as well, Donnie. In the NFC South, the Buccaneers got a victory at home by two touchdowns over Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. And as you keep an eye on the NFC South prices, the Saints still a slight odds on favorite, Donnie, at -110.
Yeah, and that's going to be a messy division all the way through. I still think the Saints are going to win it, but we're going to check in. We have Dr. David Chow coming up here. What's going on with Derek Carr? Is going to be back? How long is he going to be out? But these are some of the signs of an aging quarterback getting bruised and battered in the pocket. Is it Jameis Winston time? But having said that, let's take a look at this Commanders-Seahawks game overall. It's apparent to me right now, Eric Bieniemy is not the issue here, because you bring Eric Bieniemy in to fix the offense. He's done that. You brought Eric Bieniemy to say, okay, Sam Howell wasn't a top five draft pick here. What can you make of this kid with a little bit of talent? The offense has been moving the football, and in particular, Sam Howell throwing for multiple games, over 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions yesterday. First of all, the Seattle Seahawks shouldn't even have allowed the Commanders back in that football game. Make a stop on that final possession when you're up a touchdown. They couldn't do it, but credit to them. Had the gumption to come back. Geno Smith, 369 and two scores. Everything worked in their favor. It's time to move on from Ron Rivera. Just cut the cord right now here and give it to Eric Bieniemy, because if there's any positives coming down the rest of the stretch here, it's that offense will continue to cook, which means Eric Bieniemy probably should be your head coach next year. Let him take the reins here. Let him even see if he wants to be the head coach, because who's going to say this, but he'll be a free agent technically at the end of the year, right? Let's just say he does well with Washington and there's five other job openings going, hey, Eric, we'll give you full control of the organization and look at the quarterback and the prospects and the talent we're going to give you here. It's no surprise. You should just let him sink or swim there for himself to see if he actually wants to be your head coach next year, because I got to tell you, he's going to be a hot commodity, whether he's the Washington Commanders head coach or somebody else's.
Donnie, as we mentioned in the NFC South, the Saints, the only team that is not below 500 at the moment, -110, the price for New Orleans. There's only two prices available in the NFC East division. It's neither the Commanders or the Giants. Giants on the road yesterday in the Star, a game we expected to be lopsided, certainly was. The Cowboys knocking off New York, 49-17. The Giants scoring a late touchdown to even get to 17 points. Dak Prescott goes off yesterday in that game against Big Blue, 26 of 35, 404 yards, five total touchdowns. The G-men fall to 2-8. Dallas even covered, Donnie, as a 17.5 point favorite. All right, let's turn our attention to college football. It's been the story, Donnie, for the last 3 weeks in college football and really all of sports. As we left on Friday, we brought you the update. The Big Ten was considering a potential three-game suspension for Jim Harbaugh after some more reporting and some nuances on Friday afternoon. Ultimately, Donnie, that was the conclusion. The Big Ten suspending Jim Harbaugh for the final three games of this regular season for Michigan. He can still be at practice. He can still help the preparations. He cannot just be in the side. He can't be in the sidelines, though, when the game gets underway. Can't be inside the stadium on game days for the Maize and Blue. But Donnie, on Saturday in State College, Michigan took on the embodiment of us versus everybody. They beat Penn State 24-15, covering as a 4.5-point road favorite.
Michigan was the better team on Saturday. There's no question about that. Nobody's going to look at that football game like, hey, Michigan got lucky going into Penn State. They willed their way to a victory, which includes getting into the weight room and pushing around the Penn State Nittany Lions in the second half. Not even have to throw passes here in this game. The leading passer in this game, 70 yards? That's unbelievable here. And that was Drew Aller on the losing side here. But the one question that's going to continue to pop up is here. If you are an organization in college football or college basketball, cheat as much as you can, because if you get caught, all you're asking for is now it's don't penalize the kids and just suspend the head coach for a few games. Guys, open season, cheat as much as you can to get ahead, because if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
We'll talk more about college football on the other side of the break here on TEN.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out this opening hour of a Monday Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, I am Ben. He is Donnie. Again, Donnie, the game of the weekend in college football, a top 10 tilt inside Beaver Stadium in State College, Pennsylvania. Penn State goes down to Michigan. The Wolverines, with the embodiment of Michigan versus everybody, they get a big win over Penn State in their most difficult test of the year. They pass with flying colors, covering as a 4.5-point favorite, 24-15. I'm glad we're showing J.J. McCarthy he didn't do anything in the second half. I mean, he did not have a single pass attempt in the second half. He was 7-for-8. As the game went on, Drew Aller was the game's leading passer. He threw for 70 yards, 10 of 22. A dominant Michigan defensive performance once again. A stagnant Penn State offense in the ground game picked up for the Wolverines. Donnie, Blake Corum was in the Heisman conversation last year for the Maize and Blue before he got injured in their second-to-last regular season game. He ran for at least 108 yards in every Big Ten game in 2022 that he was healthy. Hadn't reached the century mark this year, mainly because Michigan was so dominant he wasn't playing into the fourth quarter. But on Saturday, against the nation's second best rushing defense, that was the Nittany Lions. Blake Corum, 26 carries, 145 yards, 2 touchdowns. Donovan Edwards, 52 yards on the ground, a score as well. And Michigan back to being the national championship favorite at +220.
Yeah, Michigan, this just in. They're a really good football team. Jim Harbaugh or no Jim Harbaugh on the sideline. They have players that can play each style. You want to light it up on the passing field? They've done that before. You just want to run the football and kill the clock on the road against Penn State? Now you have that in their repertoire. But also, the referendum on Penn State and what you want out of that program, let's just get used to it. Every year, happy value. When you kick off to start your season, just enjoy it. You know, have a couple beers, have a couple glasses of wine, knowing that it's going to end in 2 or 3 losses and a New Year's Six Bowl game. If that's what you like, fantastic. You got the perfect head coach for that in James Franklin.
Beat everybody except Michigan and Ohio State, who James Franklin is 4-16 against in his 10 years in Happy Valley. Hour 2, 55 seconds away.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims.
Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.